As you can see, the name of the sermon this morning is aptly titled, Terror. Now, don't let that scare you too much, but, well, it's kind of what's going on here. Alright, so last week we talked about the horsemen, and then we got into the martyrs. Well, now that the Christians are pretty much all gone, because the martyrdom has happened, now we're looking at this sixth seal. And we're going to start at verse 12 in chapter 6. It says, I looked when he broke the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair. Whole moon became like blood. Stars of the sky fell to the earth, as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in caves among the rocks of the mountains, and they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Oh my. So you see the fear and the trembling, but only once God has started moving do people begin to fear him. So the key word in all of this is the word orga, which is it's in here a couple of times. And it's generally translated as wrath, but it's anger that's exhibited in punishment, or it's used for this punishment itself. Right? So it's the wrath of God. This is something that you really don't want to be seeing. You know? And it's used so that the people of the world would be terrified of God and who he is. Because at this point, at the end of the times, there is no fear of the Lord.
Well, then what are they running and hiding for?
Well, because the wrath has shown up. So back in the 1700s, there was a guy named Jonathan Edwards. He was a traveling preacher. And he delivered a sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And he was showing how, one, God is angry, and how, two, we are all sinners, yet we are still in God's hands. So he delivered this sermon on July 8, 1741 in Enfield, Connecticut. This is the beginning of the Second Great Awakening. Right? July 8th is Cody's birthday. Funny. But right here in Enfield, Connecticut, he delivered this sermon July 8, 1741. It kicked off this great awakening. And overall, the teaching of it is, hell is real. And you don't want to go there. That's really what he's talking about. Hell is defined throughout the Bible as an actual place. Right? We say it in the Creed every week. And you don't want to go. It's not somewhere you want to be. It's not a desirable outcome of this life. Yeah, he keeps running behind me. He's,
I think he has a house up there or something.
It's the guy who was hanging out on the back patio last year this time, too.
I know, that's what I'm saying. He's got a little house up there.
So we have Jonathan Edwards, 1741. We're kicking off the Great Awakening. Now, during the Great Awakening, as with many of the other major revivals in history of the church, right? About this time, there was a revival going on in Scotland as well, in England. Like, it wasn't just confined to America, right? It wasn't just confined to the colonies. It was in Canada, and it was south, and it was, you know, over in Europe it was going on all at once. And people were realizing that, hey, God is real. We need to be following him. Right? So kind of like the time of Judges. We watch the time of Judges. We see, you know, the nation of Israel would follow God. Hey, we're going to follow you for a little while. Right? Then they fall away. And God would smack them around a little bit. You know, give them a little what for. Right? And then a judge would come. And he'd be like, hey guys, this is what God wants us doing. And they're like, oh yeah, that's right. We're going to follow God now. And then they fall away again, and God smack them around, you know. And then, you know, so we've had that in America as well, right? The 1700s, we had Jonathan Edwards and his ilk, you know, going around. The 1800s, we had guys like Dwight Lyman Moody. We had, you know, the Boots. We had, you know, this big revival in America. You know, and everybody followed God for a little while, and then, you know, towards the end of the 1800s, we had this anti-intellectualism movement, which said, yeah, you don't need to have any thought put into what you believe. And, you know, again, you know, for about the last 120 years, we've gone, oh, we're going to follow this over here. You know, we're just waiting for the smackdown. Right? And it'll come. It came for a little bit right after 9/11. Churches were full. People were praying to God. They were seeking God out. And they followed Him for a little while. And they said, we're going to follow you, God. And then they took a right turn and they started doing their own thing. Right? Same as it's gone forever. You can look all the way back to Adam and Eve. Follow God for a little bit. Do what He tells them. Oh, fruit. Eat. Right? And they follow God for a little bit, you know, Cain and Abel, they follow God for a little bit, they give Him some offerings, you know, God likes Abel's, not Cain's, Cain kills Abel. Let me go my own way, right? So, this has been going on for all of history, that people will walk with God, and then they'll take the right turn, and they'll go, I'm going to do what I want, right? So, it's not that this is something new. We've just seen it in America as well. But, you know, we're talking about the terror that's coming at the end of the days. What is going to happen? Note that once they've been terrorized, once they see it, right, what do they say? Fall on us and hide us from the presence of Him who sits on the throne. They fear God. Right?
Stupid thing.
Stuff has hit the fan. Well, yeah, but, you know, it has hit the fan and they're going, hide us. Mm-hmm. Keep us from His judgment. Right? So that's what's going on, right? They finally fear the Lord. Well, you know, had they started out that way, maybe they wouldn't be in this issue. Proverbs 9 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Note here that he's separating out wisdom and knowledge. We see that all over in the Bible, right? Well, let's look at it first. The word here for fear is yira, which means literally just fear. Right? There must be some sort of fear of who God is. We must fear who God is. Why? Because He's capable of ending it all right now. There are, and that's why we're going through Revelation.
Just watch, right? The news. You'll see the
but we should fear God. Even those who love God should fear God. The problem in the church today is that there is no fear of God. Nobody fears Him anymore. We think of Him as the nice, loving God in the sky. You know, oh, He's not going to do anything to me because I love God. Do you fear Him? Because if you don't fear Him, you don't love Him. Because if you don't fear Him, you don't know Him. And how can you love somebody you don't know? But we must have some fear of who God is and what He alone can do. The second word here is chokmah. It means wisdom, right? So, We have to have knowledge of who God is so that we can have wisdom. Right? It's one of those fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, right? And we'll get more into that, right? But we have to realize that all truth is found in God and God alone. Our wisdom comes from the Lord. Okay. And the third word I want to talk about is dehath, which is knowledge. We have to have knowledge of who God is to gain understanding. Once we have wisdom and knowledge, right, we are rightfully going to fear God. Right? We fear God because we know who He is, because we know what He can do, what He and He alone can do. Right? He grants us this wisdom and this knowledge because of our healthy, right fear of God. Right, so I just put one verse in this, but I want everybody to flip to it. I'm going to read the whole thing. Not the whole thing. There's a little passage in 1 Corinthians 12. Right? So 1 Corinthians 12, that's page 136 of your Bibles, if you're reading from a pew Bible. And I'm going to start back at verse 6. I'm going to read on down till we get through it, right? Which I think is verse 11. So 6 through 11. Page 136. It's 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 6 through 11. You're in the wrong 136, Mom. There are 236s in these Bibles, one in the Old Testament, one in the New.
Is that
the one? 1 Corinthians 12.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where we're going. Second, page 136. My apologies.
You got 1 Corinthians 12, 8.
Yeah, we're going to start at 6 and we're going to go through 11, but 8's the verse I'm really going to focus on when talking about it. Alright, so it says there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Mm-hmm. But to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. And another, distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills.
Yep.
Right? So these are gifts that God gives, right? For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, right? We don't get the wisdom without the Spirit. We don't get the knowledge without the Spirit. Right? These are things that we get. Gifts that are given. Right? So these things are different, but the same, right? Knowledge and wisdom, like we saw. Even in the Hebrew, they're different, but they're the same, right? Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Right? Wisdom is realizing not to put a tomato in a fruit salad. All right? That's the difference between the two.
Yeah.
Right? I can know something all day long. Doesn't mean I know what to do with it when it's over. Right? So, we must have knowledge of who God is. Right? And because we know who God is, we have a fear of God. A healthy fear of God. Which leads us to do what He commands. Because we know God, because we have wisdom about God, we know who God is. This leads us to a healthy fear of who God is, which leads us to do what He commands, because we know what the punishment is if we don't. Right? John 3:36 says those who... Hang on, let me quote it exact so we don't paraphrase. John 3:36 says, you know, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. Okay, we all believe in Him. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. We can believe all day long. I believe in electricity. I have knowledge of how it works. I understand that I turn on a switch and the lights will come on and that electrons, you know, travel down a line and they light a light. I have knowledge of how electricity works.
And you find out you got nothing to.
But it doesn't cause me to do anything. What causes me to do something is my faith in it. I have faith that when I flip the light switch, the light comes on, so I continue to walk into the room. Right? Because it not coming on is the abnormal. I know how it normally works. That is faith. It's understanding how something normally works and following it to its logical conclusion, how it actually works. But is this the way that we know God? Do we know God so much that we are obeying Him? That we are doing what He commands? That we're following His directs, His directions, His directives? Psalm 119, now this is a really long psalm. I won't force you guys to go all the way through it for this service. It might take the entire hour to read the whole thing. It's about 161 verses, I think. 176 verses, thanks, Sam. Right, so Psalm 119, verse 155. All right, it takes you through the entire Hebrew alphabet. It says, salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Right? Who is wicked? Those who do not seek God's statutes. Those who do not follow His commands are wicked. And salvation, the word in Hebrew is Yeshua, which is Hebrew for Jesus. Yeshua. Right? Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. We're not seeking to do what God has commanded, seeking His statutes. Salvation is far from us because we are wicked. Are we seeking to follow the commands of God, or do we let them just fall by the wayside? Do we let them just go wherever they want? Do we do what we want Monday through Saturday? Maybe do what God wants us to do on Sunday? Are we doing what God wants us to do Sunday through Saturday?
Well, we're working on
it. Well, let's see. So, what I tell you in the darkness, speak in light. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the rooftops, the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The only person who can condemn you to hell is God. And the only way you can go there is by your own choice of not fearing God. Don't fear the devil. He's only unable to kill your body, not your soul. God is the only one who can condemn your soul anywhere other than heaven. He's the only one who can send you eternally somewhere. That's key and important verse.
That's the thing. You got to think about yourself with a soul and a body.
Yeah.
Not just you or you.
Dual. Do we have this fear of the Lord that we're going to follow His statutes? Do we have this fear? Or this fear? Do we look at ourselves and say, yeah, I'm following God's statutes, so I will have salvation? Matthew 28:18-20. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Christ is with us. And he says, go therefore. Go. You go back to Isaiah 6. Right? Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? The Lord saying us. Then I said, here I am. Send me. Are we this guy? Are we saying, here I am, God, send me. I will do whatever you need. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. We're never called to have this, I'm going to keep my faith to myself kind of faith. There are those who say that your faith should be a private matter. No, your faith shouldn't. Faith was never meant to be private. It's not called to be private throughout any world religion. Every world religion calls for you to take your faith to others. You know who the best at it are? Cultists. Jehovah's Witnesses. Mormons. They're really good at it. They're good at proselytizing. They're good at saying, this is who we are. Come hang out with us. They're good at that. We're not.
Well, anybody that believes you're going to get their own planet is really shot to begin with. Seriously?
But how many of us are keeping it to ourselves? How many of us are not going out? Who will go for us? Send me, I'll go. We're called to go. So when we go, we're to make disciples. We're telling them about who Jesus is. Reach, that's going. Preach, it's telling them who God is. Right? Baptizing them. Right? So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, you know, there's this big thing going on in the church in Corinth, and some people are like, oh, well, I was baptized by this guy. Well, I was baptized by this guy, so I'm better than you. Right? So they were having this big struggle go on in the church in Corinth, and Paul writes to him and he says, now I mean this. Each one of you is saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, right? And I am of Christ. He says, has Christ been divided? We talk about this unity of the church, that it needs to be present. And we talk about the fact that it's not a lot. First century, dividing it. I followed this guy. Well, I came to Christ through this guy. Well, I came because of this guy. Paul says, Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Since Paul writing the letter, I mean, we can kind of discern that Paul was not crucified by this point. So this is a rhetorical question. There is one baptism. It says, were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. Baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One baptism. Right. There's only one baptism that's involved in the church. Right. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's it. Right. That's who we're baptized in. That's the name we're baptized in. So, why do we have so many, we'll call them divisions in our church, denominations? because we can't get along and we can't look at, you know, third series matters and say, oh, well, this doesn't really matter. This is unimportant overall. What's important? Christ died for us. Paul said, keep the main thing the main thing. 1 Corinthians 15, right? He says, keep the main thing the main thing. Realize that Christ died for us. He was raised on the third day. He was seen by his disciples. This is the most important thing. This is what Paul tells us. That we have to realize that there's one majorly important thing, that Jesus died for us and was risen again. That our God lives. So we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're shown here, right? This is a picture of the Trinity. Right? These guys are all, these persons are all co-equal. Right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're co-equal. They're shown in Genesis 1, right? If you go Genesis 1, 1 to, you know, verses 1 to 3, you see all of it. Right? Because Jesus says he's the Word. If the New Testament is true, we see all of the Trinity in Genesis 1, 1 to 3. Right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was. I think we got all three persons there. They're all co-eternal. So let's look at Isaiah 9:6. It says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. Okay, well, we kind of understand who that is. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. So we have Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace, and the Wonderful Counselor. And altogether, that is God. So there's all the parts of the Trinity all in one. In one sentence. There will be no increase to the end of his government. So, in the 3rd century, they were having a big battle royale over this. The 3rd and 4th centuries. This was a big deal. Because there were people saying that there's no Trinity in the Bible. The words, how many times have we heard, the words never mentioned in the Bible, so see, it's not true. I agree. The word is never mentioned in the Bible.
Communion is never mentioned in the Bible either.
You know, a lot of our names aren't mentioned in the Bible. Does that mean that we're not true?
Yeah.
There is no disciple named Larry. Does that mean that Larry's not true? There's nobody named Suzanne. Does that mean Suzanne's not true?
Yeah, I am.
Right? So, just because something's not mentioned in the Bible does not make it untrue.
So New London doesn't do that.
Yeah.
There actually is a Susanna.
Yeah, there's a Susanna.
Susanna.
Right. But if you call her Susanna, she will smack you around.
She don't like
it. So,
or Susan either, right?
Yeah. Or Susie.
Yeah.
But they were having this big battle royale, and this would eventually lead to the Nicene Council, right? So generally, the church affirms three creeds: the Apostles' Creed, the Athanasian Creed, and the Nicene Creed. They're all very similar, but the Athanasian Creed breaks off and has this very long portion. I don't know how they could call this a creed, but it is. This very long portion. It would probably take a considerable amount of time to memorize just regarding the Trinity. Right? And there's some videos that have this portion in them that the kids and I really like. It's the Patrick videos.
Patrick.
So Suzanne does not like those. Right?
You're making me sound like such an old brat.
Oh,
my goodness.
No, just so you don't like being called Susie and you don't like the Patrick videos. That's okay.
Democrat?
Yes. So teaching commands, right? So teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. That's what Jesus says, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That's Colossians 3:16. I like a lot of chapter 3, verse 16s are really good, especially in the New Testament. But, right? Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That's knowledge. With all wisdom. Hey, there's wisdom again. Teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, right? There's that teaching again. We need to realize that no matter what we do, we have to teach others who God is. Right? We must teach those who come to Christ all that He has commanded, right? Teaching them all that I have commanded. Which means we have to obey these commands. Right? But first, it means we must know what He has directed us to do. Because how can I teach somebody all that God has commanded if I don't myself know what God has commanded? It's not really possible. No, I am with you, or he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And this is what we're talking about, especially with the book of Revelation, right? We're talking about what is going to happen at the end of the age. Christ is with us today. Christ will be with us tomorrow. He will be with us until the end of the age. So long as we are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, because He is with us, His commands don't change, right? We know that God is unchanging. So, if He is with us to the end of the age, we must continue to follow His commands until the end of the age. We can't just follow Him once in a while and say, yep, I'm good. I did my good deed for the day. I'm done. I don't have to do anything else. That's not how this works. It's just not. Does not work that way. So we must obey God with fear and trembling. Why? Because this is coming. Revelation 6, the sixth seal, right? I'm going to read it again. I looked when he broke the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. How many people have looked at things going on in the world and said, the world is ending! I think what AOC said, 12 years, the world's going to end.
Yeah.
It's all going to end in 12 years.
So right? Up if you give her a few trillion.
You hear the AOC latest voice? Miami's not going to last a year.
It was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth made of hair. And the whole moon became like blood. Right? The sun is darkened. Well, you know, it's funny, but for years, and I've heard this a lot of times, people are like, see, the resurrection, they just didn't understand science in the first century because, you know, there was an eclipse, and that's what made the earth dark. Anybody know anything about how a solar eclipse works? What's the phase of the moon in a solar eclipse?
It goes in front of the sun.
Yeah, but what's the phase of the moon? It's a new moon. New moon only. The Passover happens on a full moon only. This is the day before Passover. So anybody who says that, oh, it's just a solar eclipse, obviously don't understand how science works.
Mm-hmm.
Though that they will make that claim against the Christian. Oh, it's just an eclipse. It can't be. It's impossible. It is scientifically impossible for it to have been an eclipse because it was during a full moon.
We also have
the earthquakes, right? So we're seeing these signs going again, right? And the moon will be blood as red. There was a guy who wrote a book called Four Blood Moons or something like that. John Hagee. Saying that because there were four blood moons that something major was going to happen in Israel in 2016. But once again, we're trying to read too much into what is actually going on, not paying attention. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. So there's going to be, you know, earthquakes, and the moon will be the sun will be dark, and the moon will be red. So that tells us that it's not just clouds in the sky that are doing this, right? Not just clouds in the sky because the moon's red. We can see the moon, we can't see the sun. It's going down. Right? It's about to get nasty.
Hiding in caves wouldn't help.
No. But you've got to look for somewhere to hide. Yeah, we're gonna be dead at this point, right? And it says the sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. It's getting real.
Listen, when that happens, there's gonna be lots of people dead just right there.
Yeah. Remember, that's one of the seals. We're going to get more into that.
Yeah, we only begun to write.
Then the kings of the earth and the great men and commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. Right? They're hiding. They're like, we know what this is. This is not good. I am in a bad place right now. That's what they're saying. I'm in a bad place. And they get it. Like the Israelites, when, you know, God would send the judgment on them, right? They get it. Finally. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, they're like talking to the mountains, like, spare me from this, because this is going to get real. And fall on us and hide us in the presence of Him who sits on the throne from the wrath of the Lamb. For the day of their wrath has come. And who is able to stand? They get it finally. Takes them to the end of the earth to get it. But they do get it. Right? So, don't let it get there. Obey God with fear and trembling. Do we fear God? That's the question. Do we have healthy enough of a respect for who God is that we have a fear of Him? Because His Word says that these terrors, they're going to come. Whether we are ready for them or not. So let's make sure we're ready. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today giving you